Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 8th of January, and I'm recording at 10:30 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time here in London. Okay, well, the drama continues here. Exciting times, once again. Stock markets had a banner day, with one exception. And that was the Shanghai Composite, well, the China A-shares, I should say, the mainland Chinese indices, because the Shanghai Composite Index was down 2.39%, a largish downs day, but you may recall I mentioned yesterday and wrote it in the copy that it was very overbought in the short term. Very overextended, and China is maintaining its reputation, or justifying its reputation as one of the least correlated stock markets. Now, Japan, the Nikkei 225, up 1.67%. That's taken that index back above 17,167. The Hang Seng Index, which is certainly always a concern of mine, and I want to see further evidence that it is recovering from all those demonstrations that we saw, largely on the part of students. And today, not a bad day. Despite the A-shares being down, it was up two-thirds of a Hang Seng Index was up two-thirds of a percentage point. Also, the China Enterprise Index, that was up a quarter of a, that's the Hang Seng China Enterprise, that was up a quarter of a percentage point. Taiwan, excellent, 1.74% gain. South Korea, 1.11%. Australia, up a half a percentage point. India Sensex, coming back into form, up 1.36%. And let's see, we had Singapore 1.42%, Malaysia up 1.10%, Thailand strong in here 1.39%, Indonesia just a fraction higher, New Zealand up 0.39 of a percent, so not bad. The Europeans were barnstorming here. Listen to some of these numbers. The Euro Stoxx 50 Index up 3.58%. They are clearly giving Super Mario Draghi the benefit of the doubt here. But, well, I'll fall off my chair if... preferably onto a soft pillow, if we see him given total freedom of action. I think there'll be all kinds of qualifications coming out in that meeting towards the end of this month, but we will see. And the more power Draghi is, or the more freedom, I should say, Draghi is given, the better off Europe will be, in my opinion. But the other indices here, the UK 100 is up 2.34%, French CAC and German DAX both up around 3.5% on average, Spain a little less, 2.25%, FTSE MIB up over 3.5%. There's huge gains, and it continues in that vein. And Wall Street had a good day yesterday, as you know, after 5 days to the downside, and it had an even better day in here today. So we've got the Dow back up to 17,907, and that was up 1.84%. S&P 500 up to 2,062, that's up 1.79%, and the NASDAQ 100 was up 1.84%. So excellent, excellent action overall. That Russell 2000 index also pushed right back up to its high. Now, it would be a bit much to expect Wall Street to perform like this tomorrow, Friday. But what I'm hoping is that we don't get much of a pullback and that we push back above the highs on these indices. Another higher high would provide a little further evidence that in this choppy environment that we've certainly seen recently, but new highs on those Wall Street indices, I don't think they'd get much above new highs, but at least if they did just manage to squeak them out, that would provide a little further evidence that the demand side, the buyers, still had the upper hand. Okay, Canada up nearly 1.25%. Mexico better still, and Brazil up nearly 1%. Good action overall. U.S. 10-year government bonds, they rallied for the second day, having found support at the October low, and they are at 2.0179. Other bond markets, for the most part, rallying similarly. Now, my feeling is that investors, bond investors, really are... have been making a mistake in here. Now, I have to be careful on that because bond investors have done exceptionally well. But I think they're reading too much, so let me rephrase that. I can't erase it. It's in the audio. But I think that the way I would put it is that they are misinterpreting the deflation factors. You know, I wrote yesterday about the difference between positive deflation and negative deflation, and there is a lot of positive deflation in there, and that really is mainly due to technology. That's this accelerated rate of technological innovation, because improving technology, and it's really the Internet of Everything, and we're getting technology improving in virtually all areas, not least for businesses. And what that's doing is making these companies more efficient, so that they can produce a little more cheaply, and they can produce more efficiently. They need less manpower here overall, and that is so you get more output for your buck, more bang for your buck, and that's a very positive development. Does that rate near record low long dated government bond yields? Well, I question that. So I wouldn't want to be there, but again, I've said that for a long time, and the bond bulls have been right, and I've been too cautious on that sector. But I would much rather have equities. Okay, what else is going on here? The dollar is that dollar index is at 92.33 as I speak, trading after hours, so it's up yet again. And that had a little pullback yesterday, but I think it's largely recouped that here today. It's high. It looks overextended in the short term. But remember, this is this recovery from a defined base formation that this service was pointing out for a number of months, slow, big type 3 ranging base formation. And that really marks the end of what was pretty much a 40-year bear market for the U.S. dollar. So that's interesting. So ties in with my secular bull market hypothesis as well, and I've written about that at some length here today. Now, stay with the currencies, though, David. The euro down to 1.1792. How far is that going to go on the downside? Well, for a long time, I've said that the euro's importance as a reserve currency was keeping it higher than really was justifiable. It's unwinding some of that clearly. I think you'll probably see a low somewhere in the 110 to parity versus the US dollar, and quite possibly this year. So, sterling down a little bit, 1.5084. The Australian dollar, however, was a little bit firmer. I also noticed that the Indian rupee was quite firm here. The Indian rupee, beg your pardon, in India itself is going to get some positive, is getting some positive re-ratings here, and that will help to keep the stock market relatively steady during this medium term. I think probably a fairly short medium-term consolidation before it goes higher. Now, elsewhere, oil prices always interesting of late, at any rate. Now, the WTI that closed at $48.92. That was up 27 cents. It's a reasonably volatile day. Brent, however, was down a fraction, just very slightly, just down 9 cents at 51.06. But we've seen a little bit of steadying in here in the last couple of days, and I think that Brent moving just fractionally below that $50 level, well, that's enough to hold it up here for a while. And some of the downside forecasts, I heard somebody say, I think it was on CNBC while I was in the gym. Somebody saying that it was going to go to, or WTI they were talking about, it was going to go to $13. I'm not sure how you calculate that, but at any rate. I pass it on. The interesting point is that these forecasts always become overextended near the end of the move. So you get these much more aggressive downside moves, like talking about gold a few months ago moving to $800, and because it hadn't gotten anywhere near that. And you've seen them before. Same thing happens on the upside. And what else here? I think the grains and beans a little bit lower here. The precious metals, a quieter day, just down less than a dollar by palladium. Silver is down to $16.37. That's down nearly 17 cents here today. Gold bullion down $2.67 at 1208.80. Platinum is down 50 cents, 1220 and change. And on that note, all the very best to all of you.